Good to be in the house of the Lord today. And just want to give you a little update in the announcement. House of Hope was mentioned. And House of Hope, as you know, is an organization or a program in the area to help men with their addiction. And they also have something what they call REC, which means Resident Encounter Christ. And once a year, they go into the jail in Bushnell, and they do a program for like 2.5-3 days. And so yesterday was the last day of that presentation. And of course, I was supposed to be there with the staff to do communion and then to go in for the candlelight service. And so I had to call and say, well, I can't be there. I'm sorry. And all because that at the soccer field on Friday, Savita had an episode. Game was over. The kids won. I said, okay, let's go home. Let's look, you know, get up. And no movement. And a second time I said, it's time for us to go. And she was still not moving. When she eventually got up, she was moving very slow. And so we start thinking that this doesn't look too good. And she thought, being a diabetic, that her sugar level was going low. And at that time, we didn't know exactly if that was the case. We went home, test her sugar. It was 82. It was just about average. And then she felt that her lip was feeling a little bit numb. And so Steve and Deidre being there, Deidre says, and Steve says, well, okay, no question about this. We are going to the ER. And so we went to the ER. They check her out. And they could not do a MRI at the Bellevue ER. So she was sent to Advent Health in Ocala. And so she was there, and they run the tests and everything else. First, the tests they did on both sides of the neck, I forgot the medical term for it, but you guys know that. That came out to be good. And then last night, they finished the MRI. The result came back this morning, and everything was good. And we thank God for that. So after church today, I'm going to be making my way to Ocala to pick her up and bring her home. And so we thank God. But the PET scan she did in Bellevue, they saw a spot at the back of her head. And so this morning when she asked the doctor, what about that spot at the back of her head? And the doctor says, whatever was there, it's no more. There is no spot at the back of your head. You know, and so we thank God for that. We didn't know exactly what. We were hoping that the MRI would reveal what that is. But thank God that everything is fine. So we are in a series, Let It Change You. And last week we heard from Brian about the Word of God. Let the Word of God change you. And whatever it is, when it says, let it change you, let's trust God that the Word of God, worship, whatever it is, that it will change us. And so today we are going to be looking at prayer. And so let prayer change you. I believe, is there any more light up here? You know, I'm still waiting for my, you know, my prescription glasses. This is a Dollar General special that I'm trying to make it work. But anyway, I believe wholeheartedly and based on the authority of God's word that prayer can and will change us if we practice it in our lives every single day. Thank you. Not only when the ship is going down or when there is a major crisis in our lives, but in everything, in every situation that we apply prayer or we practice prayer in our lives. And so I just want to encourage you that that do not neglect prayer. That prayer should be employed as an everyday commodity in our lives. The world is full of situations and circumstances that have the tendency to make us anxious and worried. But God does not want those things to steal our peace. And that's why He has given us the opportunity, the ability to communicate with Him, and that is through prayer. Because prayer will take care and help us to be closer drawn to God in spite of all of those situations we face. But when we lift up our concerns of our lives, we can trust God, and because He is in control. Prayer changes us from anxious people to a people of peace. I would like for us to consider these three words. And one is think. God can do anything, and so I can trust Him with my life. And that is so true. God can, He's not limited. He can do anything. Feel. When I believe that God listens to my prayers, I can rest in His sovereign will. And do. Practice a daily time of prayer to thank God for His love and ask Him to intervene. Now, these are very important, especially for us finding a time of prayer, whether it be a corner in our home, a special place where you love to be, but finding a place of prayer. And so today we're going to take a deeper look at how the gift of prayer can be a catalyst to change us, to change our lives as we follow Jesus. We are told that prayer is mentioned 850 times in the Bible. Given that number, I believe that it is extremely important and that being a pivotal part of our relationship with God. Prayer is one of the most significant things that we can do as believers in Jesus Christ. It strengthens us in our connection with God. It deepens our faith and our relationship with Him. If we continue to pray. And so to mention that Jesus mentioned this on the Sermon on the Mount. And you remember that sermon in the Gospel. So Jesus covers on the Sermon on the Mount. He covers a lot of areas and topics and subjects. But there is what He has to say about prayer is recorded in Matthew 7. Verse 7 to 11. And I would like to share that with you. Matthew 7. And it should be on the PowerPoint for us to follow. And I am reading from the NIV. Matthew 7. 7 to 11. It says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if his son asks for a bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who will ask Him. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. I would like to cover about three areas about prayer today. And first of all, prayer is communication with a loving Heavenly Father. It is not the only way to communicate with God, but prayer is communication with a loving Heavenly Father. We would like to believe that the most important interaction that we have with God is through prayer. And prayer begins with three words that we saw in Scripture today. And those are very important words. And number one is that we ask. Number two is that we seek. And number three is that we knock. Now, they tell us in the Greek language, these are called the word imperatives, simply meaning that they are commands of God. Ask, seek, and knock. They are commands of God. But even more than that, they are present imperatives, which means that it is not just a one-time command, but in a continuous way, which means that keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. So we don't just knock once or seek once, or, you know, we continue to do that every single time. So first of all, we are instructed to ask. To ask God what we want. And this is the simplest of the three forms of the action that we need to do, is that we need to ask for something. Now, if we are asking for something, we are making a request when we ask for something. Like, for example, I would say, Bill, would you pick up the flags for us, please, by the roadside? I am making a request. And of course, Bill is going to respond, as always, sure, I would do that. So it's a request. And we are anticipating something in return. And so always when we make a request, at the back of our mind, we are waiting for an answer. And so saying something like, God, please provide this for me. Or God, please help me in this situation. Or God, please heal my loved one. And so in all of that, we are making a request. And we are commanded to make a request. And so when we ask, we are not demanding from God, but we are being polite and we are being patient. But we ask with confidence in the ability that God would act on our behalf. The confidence we have is based on the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. We know Him as our Lord and as our personal Savior, and that gives us the confidence that when we ask of Him. And so do not be afraid to ask of God and to trust Him for what the answer will be. And so we ask with confidence. We ask a God who has no limits, meaning that God parted the Red Sea. He fed Israel with manna. He put on human skin and became, that took form with us. He raised Jesus from the dead. We also have a God who loves us with an unconditional and everlasting love. So we bring our request to Him, trusting that there is nothing that is too big for our Heavenly Father to handle. At times in our lives, we say that, you know, maybe it's something simple and we're saying, well, I don't want to bother God with this, or I don't want to bother God with that. This is too simple. This is too easy. But God is commanding us that we ask of Him what we desire according to His will. And so because of the extra effort we make, sometimes it can be bothersome to us, not to God. It's bothersome for us. And sometimes it's frustrating. And sometimes it can remain elusive. But I go on seeking what I'm looking for is important to me, important to God as well. So when Jesus commands us to ask in our prayer, it is so important that we should feel comfortable in our hearts. So when Jesus asks to seek in our prayer, it has a way of maturing us. It has a way of refining us. It has a way of teaching us and strengthening us and changing us. And so we should continue to ask. We should continue to follow his words. Jesus says, seek with expectancy. Just not just seeking alone, but seek with expectancy. There have been times in our lives and times in my life when I had to search the heart of God and say, God, why? Why this? Why does it happen to me? And we're looking for an answer. And so God in his way shows us. He intervenes and he encourages us. And in a moment or after a while, it helps us to continue, because when we experience God's intervention, it builds us up and encourages us to continue to do what we need to do. It says that we should also seek. We ask and we also seek. While asking relies on the response of the one being asked, which is God, seeking indicates action on our part. We ask God, but when we seek, this is action on our part. We seek because we are looking for something. We seek because we know that there is something to find. I think about the lost sheep. When the good shepherd went out to look for the one that was missing, he was seeking and he's hoping to find. Or the lost coin. When the lady lost that one coin and she swept the whole house seeking that she will be able to find that coin. And so seeking has the element that we are looking and hoping to find something. In the morning when I can't find my keys and I'm seeking to find my keys, and always I would ask my wife, did you see my keys? And of course she would respond, well, did you look at this place or did you look at that place? But anyway, when we do this, that when we are seeking, we are making, this is an effort on our part. So we ask God and then we seek. Lastly, Jesus commands us to knock. We ask, we seek, and we knock. And there are two obvious things to notice about knocking. First, if we are knocking, there must be some element of resistance, either coming from somewhere when we are knocking. There must be something in the way. Now, if the door is already open, we wouldn't have the need to knock, because the door is already open. But however, this action of knocking indicates that there is something indeed, or something inside, or something that we are looking for when we knock. The action of knocking indicates that there is something behind that door, something we're hoping to receive. So this is an opportunity for us behind that closed door when we knock, because we are looking for something. And so Jesus is teaching us, therefore, the significance of steadfastness, that we just not only knock once, but we continue to knock and to knock and to knock, because we believe that there is something behind that door for us to encourage us. And so steadfastness and passion in our prayer as we keep on knocking, that the door will be open. Having a prayer life is persistent, and it makes us all resilient people because we continue to do that. It is said that Usain Bolt, you remember that name, the record-holding Jamaican sprinter, has run for a total of 2 minutes on the way to win 8 gold medals in 3 Olympics and earn $119 million. But however, we forgot that he has trained for 20 years in order to run a total of 115 seconds. 115 seconds. 8 gold medals. This is the kind of dedication of prayer and persistent that we should have. There may be hours of knocking that result in a single answered prayer in our life, but we should never stop knocking and waiting. So when it comes to prayer, to our goodwill Heavenly Father, we are commanded to keep knocking at the door of opportunity for us. Additionally, that closed door may lead us to another door that will open and be even a better door for us in the end. We never know. Secondly, prayer aligns us to God's will and not the other way around. Every one of us in this room this morning has situations, circumstances, desires, emergencies that Jesus tells us to bring to Him. Whatever it is, you name that list, He's saying to bring that to Him. And we are invited to ask with confidence, to seek with expectancy, and to knock with persistence. What I have found to be true is that the answer to our prayers a lot of times could be a yes, or it could be a no, or not right now. But God knows best of what is good for us. And so when we try in our lives to align with God, a lot of times we bring our request to God and we are telling God that, God, I want you to align with what I want in my life. Instead of saying that, God, I want to be aligned with you and what you have in store for me and not what I want. Sometimes I'm afraid that we tend to pray the way that we pray or we ask our earthly father. And maybe it went something like this. I will tell my dad what I wanted, what I feel that I needed, and how I wanted him to respond. But if he did not tell me what I wanted to hear, I do what every child will do. I go to my mom. The tendency is that within a child is that they would do, or that child will do, whatever they can to still have their way or their answer to what they want. The key is to remember that we have a goodwill Heavenly Father who is responding to our confident asking, expecting, seeking, and persistent knocking in our prayer. Prayer moves us from anxiety to peace. Do we have any anxious people in our midst? Oh, we are so bothered, we are so troubled. But prayer moves us from anxiety to peace. Prayer is a powerful tool to the believers, to all of us. And one of the most profound outcomes of practicing in our prayer life is to ask and to seek and to knock. And this will change lives forever. This will draw us closer to God. Let's read, as we look into this, let's read Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." From anxiety to peace. There is a peace, folks, that comes to us that cannot be explained at times when we go through life, when we bring our situation and circumstance to God. Only when we come to God and we individually, personally do all of those things, we experience that peace deep within our hearts. When we place it all in His hand and at His feet, we can trust that He knows what is best for us. We don't have to manipulate God or control Him in situation to meet our desires, because we believe that God has our best interests at heart. Anxiety has a tendency to attack our hearts and to attack our minds. Anxiety cripples our emotions and clouds our thinking. But prayer can guard us from anxiety and from fear. And so whenever we feel so overwhelmed, the best thing is to go to God in prayer. I remember my mother-in-law, Sheila, when she lived in New York and she attends the Church of the Nazarene, she was like a go-getter person. She has like the magnet to attract people when they have different needs and situation. And they would go to Sheila and they would say, "Sheila, what about this? And I'm experiencing this." And the first thing that she would say, "Let's pray about it. Let's pray about it." And folks, that is the most important thing that we can do. That whenever we go through life and these things seem to overwhelm us and burden us, let's go to God in prayer. And that will bring a peace of mind. There is a story told about the African converts to Christianity. And they were very earnest about their private life and about devotions and prayer. And so each one reportedly had a separate spot in the thicket or in the nearby bushy area, or where there were trees, where they pour their hearts out to God. And over time, the paths to these places became well-worn, like how you park your car in the grassy area, and after a while, you can tell where the tires were laid or placed. It was all worn out. And as a result, if one of these believers began to neglect their prayer, it was soon apparent to the others. And so they would kindly remind the negligent one by saying, "Brother, the grass grows on your path." And that because they have not been on the path for a while. So my challenge to you today, the moral of that story is that be careful not to let the grass grow on your part. Continue to go to that place. Continue to go to that area. Continue to go to wherever you meet with God, until the carpet is worn until something begins to happen, and you could tell because you have been there. Seek God. Be careful. Seek Him. Ask of Him. Knock. So that your mind stays connected to our loving Heavenly Father. Because we know what the power of prayer can do. You know, I'm not sure of what this is, but I just have to remember to thank God. When the PET scan was done in Bellevue, and they show and they told Sabita that there is a spot, a big white spot at the back of your head. And when she did the MRI and the doctor says, there is nothing there. Whoever said there was something, there was nothing there. Prayer. Prayer can touch. Prayer can change hearts. And we weren't sure if whether or not that she had a mild stroke or whatever may have happened. But I tell you what, we can tell that with all the therapy signs, or raise your hand, raise your leg, do this, do that, squeeze my hand, go up and down. Nothing was impaired in any way, shape, or form. And even during the time when, from Friday night until last night and today, she's in the hospital, it's like nothing has ever happened to her. And we give God praise and thanks for that. Folks, all I can do is to challenge you not to neglect prayer. Obey the commands of God. Ask, seek, and knock. The door will be open. God is asking us to do those things. And therefore, if He is asking us to do those things, then we are expecting that He is going to respond back to us. Maybe not exactly the way we want it, but He will respond. As we close in prayer, I want to encourage you that if there is an area in your life where maybe you're lacking in prayer, I don't know. Maybe you need to pray more. Maybe instead of complaining, and that we would talk to God about it. There is a saying that says, have you prayed to God as much as you have talked about your situation? Heavenly Father, I pray that You would watch over us today. And especially in this area of our prayer life. And help us, O God, that we would not neglect prayer, but that we should engage it every single day, every hour, every moment, whatever it takes. Let Your will be done. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Just one little story before we go. Jack Hayford came up with this idea, is that he would not get up from wherever he was seated without saying a word of prayer. And so whether he's at the dining room table, in the living room, or whether he's driving, he's sitting down, before he gets up, he would say a word of prayer. And so it's something that we can probably start to practice. What do they say, that it takes 21 days to form a habit? So let's trust God. If you would like to do that, let's practice it. Prayer is of supreme importance. So let's do it.